take this one as a test job.
Yeah, I'm having... solid spot in a position where we've learned some good lessons, I think, too, where we can apply forward.
Is there a true favorite in this one? Because we've had so many regular season winners, it's been pretty wide open to this point. Is there any front runner? Is that you?
I don't think there is, in my opinion. I'm not sure. I think that honestly those other, I think the 48 and 24 have both been fast at certain times, and not had things go their way some days. So I don't necessarily agree with that narrative in the beginning.
Is the hardest question? I always think this is funny every year when the regular season champion, people say, are you the favorite to win the championship? And if you say, no, I'm not, that's a weird answer. Like, no driver would say that. And if you say, yes, I am, then it's like, he thinks he's you're going to win the championship. Is there any good answer to that question ever?
For me, there's never a good answer. me personally. So, no. But I try to just give you my honest take on it. And, you can take that and do with what you want, I guess. But there's been too many people good at different times, right? Like, just because we have a win more than other people, doesn't mean other people aren't capable of winning or having a really good day too. So, you got to respect the whole field, in my opinion. There's a lot of really talented drivers and a lot of really smart people, working at these teams. 40 points, 40 playoff. Man, I honestly don't think anybody's safe at any point in time. Like, just my honest opinion. Like, I think the way this format is, I think you have to respect this format from week one all the way to week 10. I mean, I don't think there is ever a period of time where you should think anything is taken for granted. And I don't think any amount of playoff points is ever safe. The rounds are so short. You could have two bad weeks back to back, and you do nothing wrong, and the next thing you know, you're in a position where you have to win the last one, and that can happen to the guy that is at first in points or the guy that's last. Like, I don't think anyone's safe from that.
It's an unfamiliar position for you, though.
Yeah, it is.
As many playoff points as you do.
Yeah, I've talked about that a lot. It's we've never been in that position before, and that's a good thing. I would love to put ourselves in that position more often year after year. It means we probably had more fun that year. And it also means you're trying to help hedge your bet, right? Like, nothing's guaranteed, but it can certainly help. And I think that's the big one. We just want to try to hedge that bet and better your odds as much as possible, and that does that.
So Arlington and Kansas teams have a little bit of a notebook because you've been there before, but Bristol earlier this year, of course, was hurt, so nobody's
right
gonna have anything going to that first cut race.
Right, yeah, so that one is really interesting in my opinion, and I'm excited to get to Bristol. I think it's a really iconic event on our schedule. That fall Bristol night race is one that I just always look forward to going to and watching, and since I've been a part of them, they're even cooler, so. Yeah, I'm excited about that and getting there, and hopefully we hit it right and guess right, because it is going to be a bit of a guess, I think, for everybody.
You mentioned about padding would make it fun. Are you having fun right now? I mean, are you
you know, are you brimming with confidence? I mean, I know you said anything can happen in the playoffs, but are you having a good time right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think if it, you know, if things are going good, I probably have more fun than I do when they're not. But that's just what it is, you know. Like, you know, if you're having good runs and you're putting yourself in a position to win, or you know, being fortunate enough to win a race, the fun meter is certainly going to naturally be higher than it would if the roles were not that way. So we've been fortunate to have some good weeks over the course of the first 26, but I want to be, and I truly think we can be better for these last 10, and that's what it's all about right now.
Did the drama with Larson make it not fun? I mean, was that stressful for you, just having to put up with the BS?
No, I've been completely stress-free, honestly, and I've enjoyed it, and I'm looking forward to these next 10 even more.
Chase, it seems she brings up Larson, but you have Ross Chastain and, I don't know, half the field, you know, feeling like maybe there's something that they've got to get back there. There's other agendas out there during this 10, even among the playoff drivers. Does that come into your thinking? Do you keep that sort of the back of your mind as you go through these races?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I've told you guys this before. Like, if in my personal opinion, that's not worth a lot. But in my opinion, if it's not going to make you go faster, it's probably not worth your time. And I think that's just the God's honest truth of the sport and trying to be successful on Sundays. I just think you have to really get your priorities in order of what matters to you and what's going to make a difference come Sunday afternoon and how you do.
But these agendas could affect you, right? Innocent bystanders have been, you know, when Hamlin used up all the racing room at Pocono, he didn't just take Chastain with him, he took other people with him.
They could, and I can't control that. So I'm going to try to control the things that are in my hands and do the best I can with that. You know, the only way to control things like that is to just be out front. You know, if you're out front and you're in front of everybody, then you don't have to worry about the mess. So that's the best way to navigate all those things. But, you know, look, sometimes things are just going to be out of your hands, and that's not much you can do about it.
Were you able to see what happened to North
Carolina
last night?
I did, yeah.
Yeah,
thought it was amazing. I really did, and you know, I think that they should thank Dale a lot for making that a really, really amazing spectacle for short track racing. And I think the track needed that. I think the series needed that. I think our sport needed that, honestly. Like, just from the sense of what could be at even a short track race, right? Like, we're all connected, you know, in one way or another, whether it's short track racing or NASCAR or on Sunday. Like, it's all connected in a way, and I just think it was really positive and cool to see, you know, when everybody comes together and wants to support something and they show out like that. You know, like, I've paralleled it a lot with my opinions on Nashville there in at the fairgrounds, and I'm paralleling that with my experience of running that SRX race up there last year and just how much influence we can have as a unit when we pull together in the same direction of potentially keeping a racetrack alive or making a racetrack thrive, you know, going from desperately somebody wanting it to be a parking lot for a soccer stadium to being one of the, if not the best stop on our schedule is what I think would happen if we ever visited the fairgrounds, in my opinion. So it's really important to talk about these things. And if you care about something, to go out there and support it. And then for the fans too, it's more than just chiming in on Twitter and saying that you agree. It's about going and supporting it. And you saw that in Nashville at the SRX race when Dad and I were up there racing, and you saw that last night with Dale. And I think that's a really, really powerful statement for short track racing and for our sport.
What does it mean to have won it? I mean, obviously, yeah. I know you won at Nashville too, but I mean, to have victories at those places and the renaissance of those tracks, particularly North Bowl.
Yeah, well, it was a long time ago, kind of crazy. And it was like 2011 or something. Yeah, I was 13 or 14 at the time, and it was, you know, obviously I was young and I knew that it was special, but as I've gotten older and you kind of, and then going through this whole process of kind of watching that happen last night and how cool and fun that was to see, you know, to kind of think back like, oh yeah, and we raced there and got to go up that ramp and do victory lane and stuff like that. Stuff's really neat to look back on, and I'm proud of that.
It didn't seem like there was like the level of promotion like back then in like 2011 that there was.
Yeah.
You kind of mentioned this like pulling together and everything like that. Is this just, was it just a matter of like everything working together and kind of showing what the industry can do?
Yeah.
When things like that happen?
Well, yeah, and I think, you know, Dale's platform, frankly, had a lot to do with it. He talked about it on his podcast a lot, you know, and was constantly, you know, talking about how bad he wanted to go run. So it's been a narrative that I feel like has kind of been in the making for a few years with him, and I think that helped a ton. And I think anytime you have somebody like him who can make that big of a splash being one individual, that's a great thing. And you just hope that all those people that came out last night had a good experience and want to come back, because keeping racetracks alive is more than just going once. It's about how do you turn into an event and a spectacle every time. But at the same time, not take advantage of the fans too. I think that's a balance that we have to try to be respectful of.
Do you think it will be, how big of a pump or an uplifting for the late model series itself, whether it's the Cars Tour or a local short track? I mean, you came from that, so it's cool to have these. Here's this local late model guy, and he's racing in front of 20,000 people.
Yeah.
I mean, he must have been like, wow.
For sure. I guarantee you, for every driver that was in that race last night, that was different, and it was more fun for them, because anytime the energy level is high at a race, it's more fun. I mean, it honestly is, and you can feel that. And there's been a few events, you know, over the course of my career that stand out more than others that just have had incredible energy, and wish it was that way every week, you know, but you're going to have those special ones like last night was for those guys, and things that those drivers will cherish and have forever.
Chase, because you don't live in this hub here, mm-hmm. You live in North Georgia, does that help you have a more calm approach to the playoffs, and how does that help you each week prepare for going back to the next playoff race?
I mean, I don't know that it does or doesn't. I mean, I think wherever you live, I think you can probably disconnect and do the things you need to do. But, you know, for me, I just like the area, and I've been in a position where I haven't had to live up here, and that's really about it for me. It's pretty simple and straightforward.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, though.
This new car, there's been a lot of talk about impacts and safety and everything. Do you feel as safe in this new car as you did the previous version?
Well, I mean, yeah, I'm not sure I feel any less safe.
I ask because, you know, you've heard about the impacts.
Yeah.
They feel it more, so it generally makes you feel that.
For sure. And you're hearing it from, I think, to me, the most important piece of some of that is you're hearing it from drivers who have not only experienced multiple car generation changes, but, and correct me if I'm wrong, but, I mean, Kevin and maybe Denny and Kyle both have raced before the softballs were around. So when those guys are starting to make some of the comments they're making, I would be listening for sure. I've been, you know, fortunate. Some of the wrecks I've had this year have not been as bad as others. But at some point in time, that's going to happen to everybody. I mean, I don't think anyone is ever immune to that. But when you have drivers who have been around as long as they have been around and seen the change that they've seen in the sport, speaking up about something that involves safety, I think you should listen to it. I'm not sure we should talk about it in the media, but I think that NASCAR should listen and do their very best to make sure that we're taking steps forward and not backwards.
Do you feel like NASCAR is receptive to what is being said to them privately?
I don't. I'm not in those talks. I'm not sure.
You're not involved in those talks?
Not.
I didn't know
with the car or things like that. You know, I don't make those changes.
Back in the day, people would save stuff for the chase when it was the chase or the, mm-hmm. or the playoffs. Is that possible to do these days with the new next gen car?
To do what now?
To save their best stuff, put stuff in the corner, you know, and bring out the you know, their best pieces for the playoffs.
I don't know that that's as relevant today as it was before, especially with the limited number of cars that we right. have now. But, I mean, I know in 20, you know, we were able to – we didn't know whether we were going to make the Final Four or not until, you know, 7 days prior. We were able to get one together good enough to go compete. So I think these teams are good enough now where they can make it happen.
And the limited parts and pieces and stuff have sort of make that hard to do, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and that too. You know, the cars are you don't have a large allotment of them anyway.
A lot of people would say this year it seems a little harder to narrow down who the Final Four are going to be. Do you kind of feel that the playoff field is a lot more competitive? And I apologize if you've already answered.
Yeah, I definitely think it's competitive. I mean, look at how many people have won. You know, that's never happened, and I think that kind of really answers the question in itself. You know, anybody can go. Any of the guys in the 16, and even some who didn't make the 16, could go and win more than one race in the last 10. So, I think it's really competitive.
And does it change the way you guys approach it at all, having four first-time playoff guys, or not? Because you're all racing the same field every time, but maybe they're going into it a little differently because it's your first opportunity.
Yeah, I don't look at it any different.
Alan, do much stuff outside of the racetrack, like bombing, like that, just kind of getting to know each other away from competitive stuff?
No, we know each other really good, and we don't do a ton of stuff outside the track, honestly.
When you first joined the team, and Alan took over as a crew chief,
yeah.
Is that something you guys did a lot to kind of get to know each other? Or?
We had a few team outings, but you know, for the most part, it's just been a really smooth and nice working relationship.
It's kind of like a business relationship.
I mean, for the most part, I mean, we know each other really well at this point, you know, so we are friends, but, like, we don't go drink beer on our off days, which I think is totally fine, right? Like, he respects me, and I respect him. I let him do his job. He lets me do mine, and we try to help each other and lead in each way that we can as positively as possible, and I think we just have such a mutual respect for one another. It's just become a good working environment.
When you started in 16, you're a rookie, and you've been together now like one of the longest tenured crew chief driver pairs around. How has that relationship changed? Where you're going to have more of a voice in the team, and you know, he's kind of made relinquished a little bit of the control, if you would. That's in there.
I have always approached our team in the sense of that team was put together before I got there. They've been around a lot longer than me, and I let him lead our group exactly like he wants to, and I'll respect that for as long as he's around and as long as I'm around and, you know, he wants to work with me.
You mentioned not being a part of the talks about safety of the car with NASCAR themselves. Do you think with your stature in the sport, most popular driver, Cup Series champion, maybe your voice is needed in conversations like that?
Yeah, you know, I just I don't know how to put this. I give my opinion on, you know, when I think I should, but for the most part, there's the people that run this deal are way smarter than me, so I just feel like they're already working on the things that I would bring up anyway.
Odd stat about Darlington, Chevys haven't won there since 2014. I know that's not all on you, but what is the challenge for a veteran driver or team? Because that's a long streak for the both guys.
It is. That's unfortunate to hear. But, yeah, hopefully change that this weekend.
Yeah.
About all I can hope for.
What's the challenge at Darlington, again, even for a veteran driver?
For me, it's been you know, you got to find that balance of, you know, the fast lane being around the wall, which is a difficult place to live all night, you know, especially for 500 miles. The sun sets in a really awkward place there into turn three, right in your face. And it becomes kind of hard to see, you know, corner entry. So, you know, to me, it's almost kind of a tale of two races the more I've done it and the more I've been a part of that race. It's, in my opinion, one of the long – it almost feels longer than the 600 for whatever reason. It seems like you've been racing for 2 days. You know, you start in the daytime, you end late at night, it seems like. But, yeah, so I just – kind of balancing the event, I think, is probably the most important piece of going to Darlington. And then just making sure you have a car that's put together, that you hadn't bounced off the wall a bunch for those last 100 miles.
Usually it is the longest race of the year. Maybe not this year.
It feels like it.
Forever.
Yeah.
Football starts this weekend, too.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. Aren't you?
Yeah, so excited.
Where's your school?
University of Iowa.
Oh, Iowa.
Everybody good?
That's way up there.
Cool.